Welcome again to another episode of Take Your Mountain. Today we have the privilege of being with Mick Pickett, who you might recognize from episode one, who was kind enough to interview myself for that first episode. Today we'd like to just take another step in Take Your Mountain as a podcast and dive into what we would call a little bit more on the deep end. We'll probably have a couple different types of content. This type of content is really just to share from our own discoverings as we've, let's say, have an imperfect blueprint for how to do life, so to speak. A lot of times, Mick can speak for himself, but feeling like there wasn't a lot of material past salvation. There wasn't a lot of guides, so to speak, in specificity for our own lives. So I think Mick would have used this term before. Accidentally fell into the maturation process. So our goal with the deep end is to just share from our own learnings and hopefully make it a little bit easier for the next person to follow from some of the things we gained along the way. So maybe it'd be appropriate just to kind of, Mick, give a little bit of background on yourself and maybe walk into some of that maturation process that you're talking about.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Christian my whole life. I'm 39 now, so grew up Christian, started out Lutheran, got into a little bit more charismatic Holy Spirit type of conversations at like age 5. So I kind of, a lot of my friends weren't really talking about that. They were Christians, but they were more in the Lutheran vein. So that just wasn't really talked about much at school or high school, even though it was like a small Christian private school. But I felt like I was in the know, like I had the view behind the curtain. The problem was it wasn't real relationship. It was cool power of the Holy Spirit and things like that. So I felt like I knew more than everyone in my circle. Okay. So I was like, I'm far ahead. I'm good. I wasn't really focused on like, wow, I have so much to learn. I want to get to know Jesus better. That wasn't in front of me.
Yeah.
So So
for your cohort, you were well above average. And so that meant.
Yeah. I felt like I was good.
Didn't have that vision for the next step.
No.
Yeah.
And maybe either I didn't see it or it wasn't modeled well for me when it comes to like, let's say, healthy Christian masculinity or what it could be like to be a godly man. Actually, what is humble and what is a humble and bold leader look like?
Yeah.
So I probably saw glimpses of it, but in my young immaturity, it just didn't see it, didn't grab onto it. My parents went through a little bit of like rough times. So maybe they were like working to keep the family together to some extent. Maybe didn't have as much focus on the next discipleship training and things like that. So I have been a Christian since I ever remember, 5 or 4 or something. Saw a vision in the sky when I was like 7, which was just super weird. It was like 15 seconds long, but it's like one of those moments. I was just like, that happened. No one could talk me out of that. It was bananas. Never had one since like that. But, just these little things that cemented that this is real, that it exists, but didn't know what daily integration looked like or maturing or like a process of maturity. You're saved and then you get around other Christians and you be good, a good person, a nice guy. You make good decisions, but you're not like on your face in front of the Lord in your quiet time being like, I need help. Like, what's next? How do you want it? I wasn't doing any of that stuff. I just didn't, nobody trained me in that. So in my 20s, I did what a lot of people have done and got a hold of a little bit of money. Totally was not ready to steward money. Abused my stewardship terribly, made a lot of bad decisions, kind of like hit a rock bottom in like 2013, cried out to the Lord in that time. I didn't go all in, but at least I held up the white flag and was like, okay, I know that there's some truth.
Maybe there's a better model out here.
Yeah. I was running the show for most of my life, but in that time, at least I had hit a rock bottom and I was like, all right, what else you got? I was living in Arizona at the time, and that's when I felt like he was saying, you know, reach out to people back in Minnesota. You've got some roots there. See what people are up to. One guy was doing real estate back in Minnesota that I trusted, and he was like, I'll take you under my wing. And I was like, it sounds awesome, but I'm so scared. Like, I've only done this other thing for the last 10 years, and now I'm bottom of the totem pole realtor. Like, sounds terrifying, but my life had become such a disaster that I was at least willing to hear a risk like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a beautiful thing learning now, looking back on how God works. It's like, he's got this great information for us anytime we're willing to receive it, but only he knows when our hearts and minds are in a position to receive a game-changing piece of information.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knew at that point I was ready. So I was like, screw it. This is going to be really hard. I'm very scared of this, but it's better than my terrible state of things now. So that began like the slow trajectory back up, but still I was holding on to the reins. But if I was holding on 95%, now it was 94%, 93%. At least I was going up.
Yeah.
Met my soon to be wife in middle of 2016. And we were both on similar trajectories where we hit a rock bottom, remembered our roots of Christianity, started to slowly try to do things better, and then we met. And it was the perfect timing of like a John Eldridge, Wild at Heart, saw the books back here, talks about like a cause to fight for.
Mm.
I had never read the book at that time, but after reading it, I'm like, wow, that's what I was going through. Where I met her, I saw this where she was at, where I wanted to be at, and I was like, I can freaking do this. I want to do this. So it was like gasoline on my little flame that I had going. And I was like, I want to be better for her. I want to be a good man for her, maybe a husband someday or a father someday that could just, I just want to be stronger.
Mm.
So that put a little bit more motivation on what else is in the Bible. How can I get better at this type of stuff? But again, I'm just out there kind of like making a little bit better decisions each week. Starting to try to pray with her out loud. I'm like trying to pray like for a good night. And I'm like shaking, sweating, in like a 30-second prayer. And this is
together with her.
Yeah.
While you're dating or after you?
While we're dating.
Okay.
New, but like on our way towards engagement. Yeah. We might have been engaged.
Yeah.
And I was kind of asking the Lord, like, I have too much fear in me. I want you to like give me some risks to take.
Yeah.
And so these types of little risks of like, it wasn't like move to Africa.
Yeah.
Go be a missionary your whole life.
How practical is that though? Building the muscle.
That's the risk we think. Like, that's probably the reason a lot of people don't go all in for God.
Yeah. Because
they think if they do, they got to sell all their stuff. They got to go across the world.
Crazy thing.
And these little risks, one of my favorite terms that the Lord has taught me is I'm giving him permission to cultivate a lifestyle of risk within me for the purpose of becoming who he created me to be. So that's, I didn't have any language for this back then.
Yeah, right.
But he was giving me these little things. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to pray out loud. I'm so nervous about that. I know I've started to recognize the feeling of here's one of those risks. Do it, praying, shaking.
So you kind of calibrate that little step, what it feels like.
Yes.
And then you had enough round trips.
Reps, yeah.
Yeah, where round it trips, where you saw the positive effect.
Yes.
You could sense that and then step more fully.
Game time again. It's like you're
each time.
Practice before that, and then suddenly it's like, all right, game. You're
but
the
there
game.
Were all these like little things.
Yep.
But when you stack them on each other, all of a sudden, your lifestyle.
Yes.
Is really different.
So that verse, perfect love drives out all fear. That's what was going on in this stage. Every little step I humbled myself, invited in the risks, and then when I took the risks, it's like God was like holding my hand, and we're stepping into like this vast thing of fear, driving it out. And I was finding myself more and more free.
And the trust
him more than I did before. Because I trust everything. Everybody trusts God some amount.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what it's like to trust him way more because you're at the maximum you've ever been.
Yeah.
Or whatever amount you're at.
And he meets you there.
Right where you're at. And he invites you into a deeper level of trust.
In a gentle shepherd.
That's probably one of the best fruits of the Spirit that I learned throughout this last few years is the gentleness of God. That's when it's overlooked because it's not as flashy. It's like, man, he's not going to send me to Africa unless that's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that I needed to like just pray out loud with her. One other example I like to share is at the airport, some kid, 15-year-old probably, was walking around with some cool Jordan shoes. And I felt the nudge of like, go compliment him. Here you're at the airport, you're in a hurry. And I'm like, I got all this stuff to do. But I recognized it. I knew that was the nudge. So I go and I just am like, hey, buddy, those shoes are awesome. See you later. And he just lit up, you know, probably made his day.
Wow.
And suddenly I'm like, wow, he's really excited about that. I feel better than him.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you have more value to add to the world around you than I thought 20 minutes ago before I took that risk. So I'm starting to see this, like, this maturation is just happening. I'm like, whoa, I'm starting to see things differently as you let God operate through you. Watch what you can do, bring to the world around you. So anyway, so this stuff is starting to happen as I'm dating and then engaged with my future wife. End of 2017. I'm still holding on to the reins. I've probably given God 70% at this time, but I still got 30.
Mm-hmm.
A month before we get married, February 2018, the Lord got my attention in the middle of the night. This is like dramatic type of fashion. It wasn't audible or anything, but it was like the clearest at that time I'd ever heard. And he hits me with words of affirmation right away, which is what I'd been desperately seeking from the world was the approval and to be seen, loved for just how I am and all this stuff. And he gets me with, you're doing great. I'm so proud of you.
Wow.
Basically, like, you're becoming who I created you to be. I'm so proud of you. But in his brilliant form of leverage, now that I trust him, he knows just how to get you where he knows is best for you to go. And he was like, but to be the man I created you to be, to continue down this path and to be the husband that you want to be, because my main driver back then was actually to be the husband. I want to be an amazing husband. Really bad. I didn't know the goodness of God. I didn't know what walking with God is really like yet. So my main goal was actually to be an amazing husband. And he knew that. Even though he knew it was better for me, he just understood. So he knew that that form of leverage was enough. He's like, to be that, you can't do it anymore in your timing. You can't face fears in your timing. Like, you face a fear and then you wait a week and you're like, okay, you're back in there. It's like, it's time to let go of control for good. And I did it in that moment, February 2018. I just said, screw it. I'm in. Never gone. So Christian, that's, I think that's an important thing for the audience of what we're talking about today. It's like, I was a Christian for 33 years at that point, my entire life. And only in this moment was the first time I ever said, I'm actually all. I actually let go of the reins completely.
Surrender,
actual. I'd said in my mind that I'd surrendered it previously, but this was a real heart posture. Like, I'm actually in.
Yeah.
I knew I had let go. And because I didn't know the goodness of God and the gentleness of God yet, I think I had an attitude about it. I was like, whatever. Fine. I'm freaking in. This sucks. Because I was like,
going back to that, how did you mark that mechanically? Was it a out loud prayer? Was it just a...
I believe it was out loud. It was in the middle of the night.
But it was kind of like
a heart. It was a heart.
Certainly change. Maybe out loud, but like an internal conversation. Like, okay.
It's changed now. I'm changed now. I was going this direction. Now I'm just going this direction. And that way's over. And I just made a complete heart decision. Enough of that way. Only this way.
Yeah.
And because I hadn't seen it modeled yet, I hadn't seen awesome Christianity modeled yet, or how Jesus lived on earth. I didn't see somebody walking around like that.
Yeah.
Not just the miracles, but just the love and the joy and like seeing everybody and being so present with everybody, you know?
You learn mostly through observation, so many things, right?
Yeah.
I think our part of calling for our generation and further generations is almost a rediscovery process. It's like all in the Bible. It's all there. And they were doing it, but we're given a revelation, you know, individually.
Yeah.
And that as we figure that out imperfectly, that guides the next generation, so on and so forth. Keep going.
Yeah. You're exactly right. It's like once you get a revelation, it's now your responsibility to develop that with God and bring it to whoever he has for you to bring it to in your circles.
In a lot of ways, it's effortless. Like,
yeah,
it can seem, oh, that's a big weight to carry. But also, as you just seek your own learning, that has a way of creating a space behind you for people to follow it.
It's like we're designed for those revelations, those specific revelations that are just for us. So it doesn't feel like work. It feels like, whoa, this is part, whoa, I just came more alive than I've ever been. It's like tapping into a part of your design that has never been tapped into. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, I make an all-in decision, and I'm just like, screw it, I'm in. What do you got for me, God? So this is when I accidentally did the process correctly. Because I was like, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to just, I'm not going to pretend like I know what I'm doing or bring my past knowledge into this thing. I'm completely clean slate. Gone. Oh, so it's over here. It's not erased, but it's over here. You can use it however you want. But God, what do you want to work on in my heart and my mind next? This is where I felt like the Holy Spirit taught me. I don't know. Or just like, what's next?
Just asking.
What's next? I'm going to put my perceived things that I think I should work on.
All my strategy, thoughts,
I think the roadblocks I've been coming in, running into before I went all in. And I think this is what a lot of men that I talk to run into as well, is they think, and I did too, you think if it's like, oh, if I just had a cushion in my bank account, then I could go on for God. If I could just get rid of this pornography issue, then I could go on for God. Or whatever this blown up thing is in your mind, you think it's your main thing, it clouds how you see what God is really like and where he's trying to lead you. So
little crutches, these little excuses.
Yeah.
You not excusing, feel bad. It's like the enemy tricking you. It's just delay.
Yep. Delay. It's like, kick the can down the road.
What would happen if you just did that now? Well, how much easier would it be to accomplish?
Exactly. Because it feels so big to you, it makes no sense for you to do it a different way. Like, this is the biggest problem. Of course, I have to get rid of the biggest problem first. And God's like, no.
Yeah.
So I set all that aside, and at some point, I don't know if it was right here, at some point I learned this little nugget when I had, was talking to God about it. And it's a story I bring up all the time, but a great first step for people when you're considering doing this process with God yourself, what do you want to work on in my heart and my mind next? Mm-hmm. And one of the things God brought up was to forgive my basketball coach for not playing me enough time. Mm-hmm. And I was like a sixth man playing like 10 minutes a game. Maybe I should have played 16 minutes a game. Like, it was not a big deal. It was not a big part of my story. It's not a problem.
That bubbled up.
That's what God highlights, as if, like, I don't have all these other massive things that are important.
It's in the past. To you, seem to make no difference.
No. It's like, that's buried, that's gone, it's nothing. And God's like, yeah, that's first. And I'm like, got it. Because I had surrendered to his way of doing things, I was like, your process is not going to look like mine. It softened me to receive these curveballs of what's next for the future.
Your natural mind would have been like, here's all the things in front of me.
Maybe
even so. Give me a couple of even random ideas to fix this right in front of me.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. What? Some relationship that at this point means almost
nothing. I haven't talked to you in 25 years. Yeah.
25 years.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like,
how do you sense that? When you add a lot of confidence, this is what you sense.
Yep.
Can you share like a little bit how that works for you? When that bubbled up in your consciousness, how do you know that's the next thing I have to do with confidence?
I would say maybe this isn't every time, but sometimes it's a thought that you didn't have. It wasn't in your brain at that time. It's a thought that you don't really want to do, and it doesn't really make a lot of logical sense.
Off the side of it, it's like, where does like, that come
from? So at least if you're in the process, at least how I've seen it, I already asked God to
speak,
help me.
Yeah.
So when something comes in that I'm not sure if it's God or my own random thought, at least I've built in this buffer of examining that thought.
Yes.
If you've never said, God, I want.
You're prepared for it. You're looking for it.
You're looking for it. I think that's the key. Yeah. And that's a psychological, neurological thing too.
It's
like, you acknowledge it ahead of time, you're going to start seeing that.
And then throw your discernment in.
Yep.
And once you attune the voice of God, then it becomes a little faster.
So much faster. So you get all these little, I was like, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I didn't need to, in that sense, I didn't need to like reach out to the basketball coach. I just need to like pull the hook out of this like little piece of bitterness.
Oh, so you didn't even have to talk to him.
Not in this case. In other cases, there were
people,
in this one, it was just like, the Lord knew that there was some hook of bitterness within me, injustice. I should have been playing in my mind. And yet I was harboring some sort of bitterness that was poisoning some sort of my machinery that I didn't see, didn't think mattered. Because as men, we just live life. Bad things happen. Traumatic things happen. You bury it. Patch me. You have to move on. You have to. And you're not, there's nothing wrong with that. But unless we just hadn't been trained in how to actually process through grief or whatever else it is.
Yeah. So as a great surgeon. There's all different names of God, Jesus.
Yeah.
He went in. He's like, this is the first thing. Before you work on anything else in the body, you got a leak or you got something you got to address.
Yeah.
Back here. It's usually a heart.
Yeah.
Heart set.
Like some sort of festering wound.
Yeah.
It's an open wound that you don't even acknowledge. And
without the question, you would never even consciously know it existed.
You wouldn't have built in the margin to stop
yeah.
your busy life or whatever to examine, to spend 30 minutes or whatever forgiving this basketball coach.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that.
So what did that look like? How'd you do it? Did you just like a quick thing or?
I think I was just kind of like, wow. Lord, like, I think I was practicing or early on in the process. I'm like, I think you're inviting me to give this guy. It doesn't seem okay, I guess. I was a lot of that.
Yeah.
I was, all right. Okay, I forgive him. Do you, I probably work through levels of forgiveness. Maybe that happens throughout time where it's like, can you pray for him and you want success for him?
Mm. Truly. Yeah.
Or do you just, I forgive him. I get it. Yeah. He did what he thought he should do, whatever.
No, that's one level. I desire blessings for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Share, was there any, when it came to the sonship concept, I know you've read a couple of books that were instrumental in kind of unpacking that and starting to practice. Was there any kind of profound experience that led you to that, or was it part of your process?
Yeah. Great question to go back to that. End of the sanctification season would have been August 2018. And I was listening to some podcast, and it kept asking. It was a Christian podcast, and it was like, "What's your wall? What wall do you have up?" And I was going, "I don't think I have any walls up. I've got like 7 months in a row of being open-handed, being like, let's freaking, what's next, Lord?"
Yeah.
I don't actually know if I have any walls up.
Yeah.
I don't think I do.
Yeah.
Which is the best I've ever felt. For most free I've ever felt. Every month I'm more free. Podcast just keeps asking. And eventually I'm like, okay, God, do I have a wall up?
Yeah. Why am I listening to this podcast?
What's okay. And it was like that, a moment of a 2x4 in the face moment of approval where I hadn't pinpointed that yet. He hadn't brought that up in my process yet.
Yeah.
Needing other people's approval, wanting other people's approval. It just became crystal clear in that moment that it was like the last boss of a video game.
Yeah.
In my like sanctification season. It was this like
Nintendo levels.
It was it's like I had this well of water and it was becoming more and more pure, but there was this poison in it, this bad poison. And the worst of the poison was this rule. And it was so deeply involved in everywhere I went. It was almost like it was like pretending to be part of my identity, but it was like wrapped around my identity in like a most integrated, nasty way.
Can you give me an example of how that might have shown up? Just so people like,
yeah,
a little.
So like when maybe with the poker playing, where at a poker table you are presenting an image of who you want them to think you are.
Cool, calm. I'm gonna
win
this game.
A certain card comes out, you make an action, or you don't make an action. You're always just projecting, trying to tell a story with your betting and with your emotions and with your talk and with everything. You're telling a story. At the same time, I'm learning everybody else's story. What are they saying? It's just a data collection.
And knowing there's deception in all of it.
Yes. So it's awesome competition of a game.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't realize is that I was bringing those skills. So 15,000 hours, I was bringing that into everywhere I went. I went to a restaurant. I went to like a wherever gathering of people. I would bring in, I would do the same thing. And I'd become so good at it at the poker table.
That I was drinking, breathing.
Yeah. I was in it. I could be anybody I needed to be at any time, morph into any crowd, and not to be the hot shot. And not even like a chameleon in the background. But I wanted everyone to know that I was okay. I had a pretty cool life. I had it together. And I could just project. And I could like tap into, I need a little joy here. I need a little sadness here. I need a little empathy here. I could just like adjust the potions to project. I was just a master of the fig leaf, like John Elder says too, of the projection anywhere. Maybe I was born with a little bit of emotional intelligence, and then accelerated my gifting in poker. So when this approval happened, when God eliminated approval, he just said, and this would have been the next time he spoke super clearly to me, it was just, I approve of you. whack. And it's just like, it doesn't matter. I'd gotten married. My wife's parents are pretty established in like a real estate. And I'm this like new realtor
This guy marrying my daughter.
$35,000 a year on just total or whatever, just some small amount. And they're really like pretty intimidating, hard charging businessmen, really loving, awesome Christians, but like they know business.
Yeah.
And I don't. Or I didn't at that point at all. And he's just saying it doesn't matter what they think. You are going the right direction. Your heart is good. I approve of you. And it just went head knowledge, heart knowledge. It locked in of like, I knew. And it's like, I started crying for like an hour and a half by myself. Beautiful cry type of time. I woke up the next morning, approval is gone. It's been gone ever since.
Wow.
So that's where I would say to
you. All right, play this off a second. You go into a restaurant and your old self.
Yeah.
I'm sure it depends on the context, but like, what would be the difference then versus now? For some people, we all struggle with something different.
Yeah.
But to kind of show for you the tangible difference, can you like?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think anybody's ever asked me it like that. This is so new. What I was doing was so nuanced.
Yeah.
So back then, I was living for myself.
Okay.
And if I could make somebody laugh or like me, it looks like I'm benefiting them, but I'm actually benefiting myself.
Points. Yep. So you kind of.
So if they need empathy, I'll give them empathy. If they need to be, let me joke with them or hear their story and laugh at their story, I'll do that.
The motivation, though, this is what the Lord's going to show me sometimes. Is we can do a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
You can do the exact same thing as someone else.
Yeah.
But the heart and why you're doing it makes all the difference. So
100% right.
Is that kind of like, whatever, brownie points or you want to score social points in the scenario.
Yes.
So you're trying to live with a full cup. Are you trying to fill your cup up?
Yeah.
And if that happens, you know that requires it to hit this button and hit that button.
Exactly.
But it's kind of, I guess, manipulative.
It's maybe the most deceptive, manipulative way of self-promotion that there is.
Yeah.
And I became a master of that because that's what Booker is.
Yeah. So they live, they walk away thinking, oh, that was...
They feel good. They feel liked. They feel seen. They feel loved.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just went up in their book.
Yeah. Okay. Juxtapose that.
Now, good one. Never actually explained that. Now I'm free. So when I don't have a lack. So again, John, I keep referencing John.
You had a thing. You had to fill.
Yeah.
You don't have to fill it now.
He described it really well in one of his books, and it says, you're either bringing the insecurity of your unanswered questions to a scenario, or you're bringing the security and confidence of your answered question.
Wow.
I just get goosebumps even saying that, because that's just true to me. So now I'm bringing security. I know who I am. I know who my father is.
Yeah.
I don't need anything from you.
Yes.
So here I am.
Here we are.
Consumer or general store available for people that wherever you go.
Yeah. And I would imagine really what you're getting at too is a little bit of that servant. You're there to ostensibly serve. Like,
yeah.
I'm here, you're here, well, we're here, so we might as well like learn something. I can learn about you, you can learn about you're there.
Yeah.
Just take in whatever the Lord has for you actually in the moment or how think about that.
Say that so when I get this identity exchange happens, I traded my need for approval of the world for God's approval of me.
Yeah.
That's what happened in 2018.
Okay. So even in that bucket. You might still have a bucket, to use the analogy.
Yeah.
But now it's the Lord's bucket. And thinking about what pleases him would be maybe serving this person just for the sake of serving him. That ends up a business or that ends up with, you know, you go up in there. Well, probably counterintuitively, you go much higher up in their social thing because you bring in
you're free
agenda.
And they can tell. People can tell.
People tell.
Yeah.
That's... People always, we think we're so...
You're a transactional society. Good. So when you're suddenly bringing freedom, people are like staggered by it. They might not have words for it. They might not say anything to you.
They walk away.
But there's something about that is like, I have not experienced a person that lives like that. They might not even know how to like articulate it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably how Jesus was a lot of times too. Where
they feel it.
Like, something
they may or may not. different level of consciousness.
So it was just an awesome experience of driving out more fear. So I would say the 2018, pulling out, creating space, excavating. Hmm. Get to the very bottom, root. God removes the root of approval in the bottom of my container. Hmm. Gets replaced with his approval. It's like a new, like old weed is taken out, a new seed is planted. Now I've got all this space. And that's what led into a couple months later, my dad has never sent me a book before. He reaches out and he's like, I think I'm supposed to send you this book. And it's called Sonship, A Journey into Father's Heart.
So your papa.
Yeah.
Gave it to you.
Beautiful thing. And this book starts to articulate. This is the end of 2018.
He's kind of watching all this stuff and knows.
He knows a little bit, but not.
He may or may not be following even this exact not this same deep. Path. It was, but he's like, this would be good.
It was wild. He's never sent me a book before or since. He just knew in that moment. It was a great little nudge. And the book starts to articulate. It's basically like Jesus, you know the verse, nobody gets to the Father except through me?
Yeah.
So it's like this book was almost like, it felt like Jesus was introducing me to the Father.
Hmm. Wow.
I knew the Father existed. Wow. But whether I thought he was a grump with his arms crossed, like distant, he was showing me what the Father was really like. That makes my eyes blow up big time because it's like, that's one of the nuanced things in the New Testament that a lot of people don't talk about. Like one of the things Jesus was doing, not only forgiving our sins, giving us a chance to be in the family of God, he was restoring the reputation of the Father. Because all these Jewish people thought, this is this powerhouse God. They're not thinking of him as like relationally loving on a day-to-day basis. They're not thinking like that. And Jesus is telling them he is like that.
So much so that they had to kill the message. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how stark this, well, spirit of religion, which is antithetical.
That's the main boss.
Yeah.
So that was, I was getting what they describe it in the book, and I know you've had a similar experience where it was called the revelation of the Father's love. It's like the thesis of the book. So it's all this space, new seed, and then it's just this got dumped. This, what the Father's really like, what he really thinks about me, it just gets dumped into all this open space that was created months before. And my life has just never been the same since. It's like, that's something that I still haven't been able to explain to people. I try to impart it or produce curiosity within people by telling them about it. And I feel like I've been almost like in training the last 5 years of life. Guys, I know you're a Christian. Talk to God, ask God what he's like as Father. Mm-hmm. Ask him, you know, what do you want to work on my heart, my mind next? Like start working on this stuff. And it will lead you to this in probably a different path for each person. But this exists. There's a level of freedom and love. Loving God and loving others. It's like, love your neighbor as yourself. That's like a great idea. Not possible. But after this happened, I was like, I have so much love. It's like I'm standing under this waterfall. And all I want to do is like, who can have it? That's where the freedom came from. My question was answered. My approval was answered. And then I just got this like storehouse of love. It's infinite. I can think about it and start crying. Well up. 6 years later. Right on the surface, all day, every day, full access. So it's like you're seeing, and I was like looking back throughout these years, he had me start to go to, this is all internal in 2018, and then he's like, start to go get into Bible study. Start to like talk a little bit. Start to meet some people. And I'm like nervous. I'd never done that because it was all internal. Now he's bringing you out to try to like work on talking about things. And then it was just, that's where I learned how to be genuine in conversations.
Okay.
Because he was like, my real estate stuff wasn't going very well. And I was like, everything's going amazing. I got this Father's love thing. My identity's changed now. Side little note, people talk about the identity, Jesus's identity. My identity's in Christ. My identity's in Christ. That's all I've heard my whole life, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is Jesus's identity? Son.
Mm-hmm. Son of man. Yeah.
Son. So it's like a lot of people write it off that our identity is in Christ and we got it. We checked that box. And it's like, yeah, but what is his identity? What is his cornerstone? What's his compass? So that's just another thing for people to talk to him about. So we talk about the Father a lot. We're not discounting Jesus whatsoever. It's only through Jesus can we even have this relationship with the Father.
I love how you said that clicked for me even, introducing you to the Father.
Yeah. And he wants to.
Yeah.
Anyways, so real estate's not going great. but everything else is going great. So I'm telling God, like, now I'll go to Africa if you want me to. I'll go anywhere you want. I mean, for whatever. If I need to quit real estate, be a pastor, do all this, you know, normal stuff where, oh, you all God, go be a pastor.
Right.
And he was just like, out of nowhere again, will you start going to meetings with people that don't have real estate? Because I want you to. It was another one of those 2x4 moments where I'm like, yes, I've got so much love inside me right now. I'm going to burst. I have to tell him, who can I talk to?
Yeah.
And so it was
fledgling business starting off. And you feel like you're being asked to invest your time in ways that clearly is not a direct ROI
to
what you got going on.
Exactly. This is a lot. It goes against all logic, all everything else. Yeah. Everything they teach in real estate, land, or any sales. It's like you go out and you do your transactional thing.
We've all met those people, though, that like, great person, you have a decent meeting, but you know
there's an ask coming.
The main reason you're there is whether it's today or tomorrow, there's an ask.
There's something.
There's planting the seed.
Yeah.
And from day one, you kind of either feel it or sense it a mile away.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. That might be really awesome for your audience, is that's the thing. That doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
It might seem like that's the only way, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I would recommend to everybody, ask God, is there somebody you want me to go meet with? And I will do it regardless of the logical reasoning.
Yeah.
Great little path in there. So I went to like 80 or 90 meetings in 2019 with people that had no real estate value. And I just sat with them. I was like, tell me your whole story. I want to hear everything you want to share. And I would just sit there for 90 minutes sometimes, and they would, kind of like you're doing right now.
Yeah.
And I just learned to listen. I learned to love their stories. I have nothing to gain. Real estate never even came up really. And it wasn't even, I learned how to be genuine. So now I was exchanging the transactional for the genuine, learning how to just be with people, be intentional. Thoughts come up in your mind of this or that. You're just, no, you're fighting, you're battling, you're staying focused with the person. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with people, fell in love with God's process. And over time, I've gotten better at what I say yes to each year. 80, 90 meetings in 2019, I was just like, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Line them up. And now it's like, you know, I got married and I have 3 kids now. And it's like, you do have less time, but I also want to take risks.
You've calibrated or carved out time within a overall allocation, so to speak.
Yes.
A strategy. This amount of time is set aside for whatever.
Yep.
Kingdom creativity.
You have your ideas and your frameworks, but it's always open-handed and God can throw curveballs in it.
Yeah.
I just am okay with that.
Yeah.
So this just increased. And now just looking back the last 6 months or so, I've just been thinking like, man, it just looks like this. I've accidentally done the maturity process correctly without even knowing it. And it's felt like God's been nudging me a little bit of just like, start to like, you know, get some of your notes together and start to talk about this a little bit, the maturity process. And then a couple other times it came up and then you talked about this and I'm like, something's going on here. It's like, there's more. And it's not about more knowledge, not about more Bible knowledge even, or knowing about God.
Yeah.
This is about learning to know what God is really like, knowing what he really thinks about you, and then letting that worldview saturate the rest of your life. So
that's so good. I feel like God in general is calling us deeper. And the way he does that is through process. But so much of this is, I would say secretive, but it's very personal. And so it's easy unless you have a really good parent or some other mentor in life. You know, you might see some fruit from somebody that looks attractive or something, but to really peel back the onions, the layers of the onion and be like, these steps, while aren't prescriptive, just because something happened for me or something happened for you, doesn't mean that's everyone. But I have learned just from talking to people like yourself, comparing that to my own experience, that there's things rhyme and there's different steps available to us that is altogether very big, but also can start with the simplest prayers, the simplest desires. God's gentle, will take you through one question. It doesn't go through. As a strategist, I'm easy. Like, oh, here's my first step, second step, 17th step. I've got rough good idea. And if this changes, I know exactly how that's going to change. And even just hearing your story, how you met you right where you're at and had that one next step, one next step. And like even the wall you were talking about, approval, like I knew that was there the whole time.
Gotcha.
If you gave that, if you had an inkling of that day one, you might have been intimidated or.
I would have grabbed it, tried to fight everything because that would have been the main thing. I'd be like, we got to get rid of this approval and then everything will work out. And I might have made some progress for a few months and then just got smacked.
Yeah.
That's what you see in a lot of these guys that, like, you know, they make it for a while and then they fall back and they're sad and they're feeling guilty and ashamed. And it's like, surrender what you think you should work on next. Trust the maker. Mm-hmm. He's got the instruction booklet on your design.
Yeah.
He knows which basketball coach you have to forgive next to, like, unlock this ball of yarn that's all gnarled up. He knows which string to pull. Unless we grab a string and it just gets tighter and worse, more gnarled.
Well, what I like about what you've done is just how important it is to do those little acts of obedience.
Yeah.
Don't try to bite off a whole elephant at once.
That's probably everything.
Yeah.
Really. I think my brain just likes that little micro nuance.
Yeah.
Micro obedience, I was calling it.
Micro.
Using my pun brain.
Obedience.
It's micro obedience.
He won't give the fullness of all he has for you without, okay. Are you serious about this? Try this.
Yes.
Then you build reps, and then you build faith to take that bigger step. That's like in my old days, I would need X, Y, Z figure out before I'd even attempt it. But now
you've
built up enough. It's like working out. You know, you have a margin, and you know I can make that 10% jump. Now I can make 30% jump. Now I can make 1,000% jump because I hear from the Lord. I might not know all the steps that are required to get there, but he's done all these other things, like 10,000 things. Small things lead you into the big.
Because you take these little risks, and then he shows up, and you learn a little shade of his nature a little bit deeper. So you're actually getting to know what God, your faith is actually increasing, is what you just described.
It's teaching about yourself,
yep.
And you're learning about him.
Yep.
And I love how you say those different parts of his character, because I think we all have a piece of the character, a piece of the knowledge, a piece of revelation, and he just keeps showing up. And the term surgeon just came to mind. I'm just like, man, it's so precise and it's so known for exactly who you are,
master,
what you need at the exact right time, but also how free will is completely involved.
Yeah, it's not abusive. He doesn't push himself on you.
You must, if you desire those things, right, say so, and then show you mean it,
and do it
by taking the next step. And that's what's so cool about your story, is just like pile all those things together and just see what the Lord's up to.
Yeah, man, and it's just I've just learned that the grace of God and the mercy of God, and I'm just uniquely designed that way.
Yeah,
it's like I was probably supposed to learn these lessons 15 years ago.
Yeah,
but I learned them now.
Yeah,
it's like it's part of my design. It's okay, and I don't have to worry about the past shame and guilt and regret, what I might have done wrong. It's like here we are right now. We've got this grace on my life to like understand. That's another thing too. It's like I'm not out here saying I'm so cool, I figured this out. It's like God designed me to know certain things, to help other people know certain things.
Yeah.
So it's just to just feel more and more thankful. I feel like then proud.
Yeah.
You know, pride is sometimes, you know, you have a revelation, you have a breakthrough, and pride is always kind of lurking on the other side of a wisdom nugget or something you learn. Pride's always right there to be like, hey, farther into these guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's always.
It helps me with that one, and it's a constant thing, but literally everything we have is a gift. Like our very life, our very breath, our very opportunity to be in three-dimensional space, having this kind of it's all a gift. So when you're that's what I try to do, is to remind myself, like, no matter how much you've accomplished or think you've learned, it all comes back to source.
Yeah. Right.
Something else you said earlier. Life, how to get away from shame, guilt, from whatever detours we've taken.
Yeah.
Like one is just like a learning mentality of like, we're all learning and growing. Like, assuming we have our heart is in roughly the right place, we might do a lot of stupid stuff. There might need to be some correction there. But God's looking at that heart. And I think of like the GPS, like, I don't know, if you're coming down a mountain and there's like 18 different ways to get down, I do actually believe there is a God ordained best route.
Yeah.
Destiny, so
top
to speak.
Route. You can still get it.
But no matter which direction we choose, it's kind of holding these two things in tension, which is there is a roughly a best way that you can kind of screw up. But then, like a GPS, is, you know, you take left, it's told you to go right. Like, yeah. It quickly reroutes and gives you the new
That's good.
Best path down. And it's like he's constantly, like a good dad. Like, well, this is where I think having kids really comes in. Like, what would you want for your kid?
Yeah, that's so helpful.
They make a mistake, you're going to get a baseball bat? It's yeah. Like, no. You want to help them acknowledge that. And you're, no matter what they choose, honestly, you're just trying to make it better. Make
yeah.
It in the fullness of who you know as a, even in earthly sense, is a slight a sliver of the revelation of what God the Father means to us.
Yeah.
But how we just desire what's good and wholesome and right for our kids, how much greater that Father desires his kids.
Yeah, that's another cool thing for this audience, especially. It's like you're trying, I'm trying to help other men. We're trying to produce curiosity for people to think that there's something here, that this is something worth pursuing. So it's like whatever, however you need to get motivation, get it with God. So it's like for me, it's like I wanted the cause to fight for. I wanted to be the great husband for my wife. And now it's with kids. It's like I'm seeing through reps and practices, like the more I come into fullness, the fullness of who God created me to be, the less broke of my brokenness I bring to my kids, my interactions, my other stuff. So I'm like, I'm seeing this is worth it. So it's like, yes, I just had a terrible reaction, a terrible response to my kids, but I'm in a process. In a process, there's grace. If I'm supposed to have arrived already, there's no grace.
Yeah.
So if you're in a process, you're like, all right. I know God's not shaming me or guilting me.
Yeah.
I'm going to let his voice be the loudest voice in my life. Mess that up. Apologize quicker. Back in the bite better.
Yes.
Where in my character do I have an issue that's causing this like bad response when my kid like does something silly?
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just like examining the data.
Yeah. Well, you haven't mentioned this, but this is kind of part of the point. As you shifted away from focus on the business outcomes, and you literally haven't even mentioned it, what was the fruit in your business outcome?
5x in like 6 months.
Six months, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Released the pipeline for sure, 5x.
So if you play the movie out, if you had just maniacally focused on, you know, leads, what you needed to do to grow the business, like what would have been the difference between those two paths?
40 or 50% less than where it was. And now it's my business has been successful ever since. It's not like 5xing every year, but it's been pretty much sustained and successful.
Yeah.
But the trust, I'm doing what I'm designed to do.
Yeah.
So it's like the door, when you're doing what you're designed to do, doors open. It's like there's more favor on your life down those lanes because you're in a line with God. You're not trying to build your own kingdom. You're not trying to self-promote and self-protect your own little world. So suddenly I go to a coffee with somebody who doesn't have real estate advice for me, and I'm just there for them, listening to them. And then at the end of it, they're like, hey, you should meet Jason Weimer.
Yeah.
I don't get to have that.
Yeah.
It makes my eyes well up just sitting about it. It's not because I love you so much, maybe it is, but how beautiful it is. You were a gift on another side of my obedience. And that's kind of how it works on this. You take a step of obedience. And you don't know what kind of gifts are through those doors.
Yeah.
So you set down your logic, you take the risk, and then you see what is available on the other side.
Well, a lot more that we can talk about in that entire story and desire to unpack more of that in coming episodes. But that, my friends, is the first episode of Deeper End. Nick Pickett, Jason Weimer.